This gospel today flies in the face of the age in which we live, which is an age of relativism, an age of where some people do not believe in absolute truth. My truth is not your truth. If I were holding an apple, this apple is not an apple, but an orange. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." He proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is God, for he was able to forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. He rose from the dead. If he is God, God who is infinite, eternal, the creator, he makes all the rules. And that truth, that which he has revealed through his church, which he gave us to defend and explain the truth, must be followed. Does it matter what we believe? He answers it in the gospel today. Someone asks about salvation. Will only a few be saved? He replied rather somberly, "Many will try to enter, but will not be strong enough. That people will make up their own truth and pass it off as mine and say they know me, but they will be liars." We can't make up our own truth. But the people respond, "We ate and drank in your company. We came up and received Holy Communion. You taught in our streets. We believe that you exist." Notice what it does not say. "We were honored to be in your presence. We believed and followed your teachings you taught. We put it into action." We have to do more than just listen. We have to believe and act on that belief. Our faith, this truth that our Lord has given, should not just be kept under a bushel basket or afraid of it, but proclaimed on the mountaintops to all the nations. If a student in a classroom is given instructions but then does his own thing, that student will flunk. The same with our Lord. We have to listen and follow his teaching in order to pass. Not just some of his teachings, but all of them. We can't break from the truth just because we don't like it. That same truth remains. We see in the revelation of the Holy Eucharist in Scripture, our Lord revealed that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood to have eternal life. Some left because the saying was hard, but he let them leave. He didn't change the truth just because it was a hard truth to accept. The founders of other religions broke from the truth revealed by Christ because they didn't like something or it was too hard. Martin Luther changed Scripture. He said that we're saved by faith alone, just believing. Clearly, he ignored this scripture that we heard today in our hearing. He threw out books he didn't agree with. The book of James, which says, "Faith without works is dead," that you have to put your faith into action. Calvin believed in predestination, that there is no free will, that it doesn't matter what we do in life. He ignored the cross. If it doesn't matter what we do, then there's nothing that our Lord Jesus should have died for. Muhammad, he does not believe in the divinity of Christ, that Christ is God. He doesn't believe in the Holy Trinity. He doesn't believe in a suffering Savior, a merciful Savior. These are heads of religions that have changed something or dropped something. But what do we do in our own church? Say we are Catholic, but don't believe what we should believe as Catholics. Morality. Do all believe that these are sins? Contraception, abortion, homosexual acts, sexual acts outside of marriage, euthanasia. Do all believe in the articles of the Creed, the Holy Trinity, belief that Jesus is God and man, belief in the Holy Eucharist? Do we believe that the devil is real, that hell is real, that there is an eternal punishment? The head of the Jesuits just announced that the devil is not real. He's going to be in for a rude awakening. Do we believe the defined truths of our faith declared by the Church, the dogmas of the Blessed Virgin Mary, of her Immaculate Conception, her virginity, her being her perpetual virginity, her being the Mother of God, her assumption into heaven? If not, if we don't believe these things, the Lord is saying to us today, not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of God. How many Christian sects are there today as a result of not liking some sort of teaching of our Lord? 60,000? What was the statistic that was released just a month ago or so that said only 30% of Catholics believe in the real presence of the Blessed Sacrament? When you look at how people vote, 52% of Catholics voted two elections ago for the most pro-abortion candidate in history. His record before that he was even elected clearly stated that he was in favor of abortion in all 9 months, in favor of even infanticide with Obama. Are we going to be one of those ones that the Lord says, "I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, you evildoers"? Do we just assume that we're getting into heaven? How many times have we been to funerals and the person is canonized? And when they're canonized, we don't pray for the dead. We don't make amends for sins committed against the sacred and immaculate hearts of Mary. The saints realized their sinfulness, and they tried to avoid sin. They didn't say because they are sinners, they're not going to try. The teaching of the Church says, through no fault of their own, or someone does not know the gospel of Christ or his Church, and they're seeking to find him, or those who have not arrived at an explicit knowledge of God try and lead a good life, they have a chance of salvation. But we know the gospel. We have explicit knowledge of God through his Church, which he founded. We were blessed with the fullness of truth, so we should not leave it. What church goes back to the time of Christ? That church has to be marked some way. The true church is one. It's one in Christ. Christ's prayer to his heavenly Father was that may they all be one, not 60,000, but one. The church is holy. Christ is holy through the shedding of his precious blood upon the church. It's Catholic, it's universal, not just for some, but for all. And it's apostolic. That church must go back to the time of the apostles. That's apostolic succession. In the church, the Catholic Church, we have apostolic succession. Every bishop can trace their line all the way back to the time of the apostles, the very foundation of the church. He has revealed that he is God. He has clearly revealed that the Catholic Church is the one that he started in these four pillars. He is making it so easy to know what the truth is. He knew that there would be many voices of untruth and deception. But that's why he gave us the church to know what the truth is, what he believed, what we are to believe. The church that has his real presence with us. When Christ went before Pilate, the Lord said that he is witness to the truth. And Pilate retorted, "What is truth?" But we know the answer to that question. Truth is a person. The second person of the Trinity incarnate gave us the church. He gave us the keys. He gave the keys of the kingdom, the authority on that truth, to St. Peter, the first pope, and for the apostles to go out and to gather all the nations to that one truth. May we follow the truth all the days of our life, never changing it to fit our own needs or leaving it because it might be hard to follow. Can it be hard? Yes. But anything worthwhile in life is not easy. It has to be fought for. Those are the martyrs before us who shed their very blood for this truth, for the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we remain in the body of Christ, the church in which Christ started, the Catholic Church, church which was born on the cross by the piercing of his side and blood pouring out upon the whole world. Let his pouring out of his precious blood not be in vain.